So there we are, Andy McCluskey and company doing the whole unique sort of scenario there with the wonderful joys of Souvenir. It's very, very strange. Whom should we actually be saying hello to now, Katie?
Michelle Munro.
Yes. Hello,
now,
Michelle
don't
Munro.
I'm so excited.
Listen, we're just gearing up to the SFX deputy editor, Richard Edwards, who might be joining us via the joys of ISTN. If not, we'll go onto his mobile phone. It's very confusing, but we will try ISTN once again. How are you well, Michelle? Is everything good with you? I mean, and let's put the question to yourself that we've been putting to most people today. In fact, Nikki, would you like to throw that question in insofar as who would Michelle possibly most sort of say, yes, I do to?
We've been having a little bit of a debate. So, Michelle, what rock star or other celebrity would totally rock your boat, rock your world even? If they turned up at your door and said, Michelle, will you marry me? Who would you say yes to?
Bruce Willis.
Pardon?
George Clooney. Those three are very close contenders.
So that was Bruce Willis, George Clooney and...
And Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah. Pierce.
Well, of course, Pierce has an interpretation of the ABBA tunes in Mamma Mia, unmitigated joy, really.
Well, he tried.
So did the man who did Les Miserables. He tried as well.
I think Pierce did a little bit better, didn't he?
They could all come in. I don't mind.
Well, all at the same time.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't kick them out.
A triple whammy of fun.
Exactly.
Nicola, I know that after a hard week, you look forward to the Michelle Munro selection as a way of just sort of realising the weekend is just a wee while away.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Exactly, and it's time to actually find out what you've actually gone for today, Michelle, because it's really the perfect tune for any community radio station that happens to be based in a university.
Well, absolutely. Now, in 1962, my father recorded his second Parlophone LP. This album, however, had a theme, that being that it was dedicated wholly to one composer. The composer in question was Hoagie Carmichael, and I've spoken about the reception to the album many times before on the Midweek Drive. Suffice it to say that it was acclaimed by Bing Crosby and Hoagie himself. Now, this week's song dates back to 1944 and the film To Have and Have Not, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, who sings the title song in the film, accompanied by Hoagie on piano. In fact, it has been a matter of contention as to whether it was actually Bacall's singing voice. While some sources say she did indeed record her own vocals, Andy Williams stated in a biography that he used his voice when he was only 14 to dub for the actress. In the film song, it is 3/4 time, but Dad's version, recorded at Abbey Road Studios on the 19th of August 1962, with an arrangement by the great Johnny Spence, is in 4/4 time, giving it a far smoother feel. Now, I have to admit that I have no idea of the controversy over whose voice appears on the film's soundtrack until Richard researched this week's song, and it just goes to show how little we know.
Splendid. Grace, what did we make of How Little We Know by Matt Munro?
I really liked it. I was commenting to Katie.
We're having challenges with names, aren't we?
We're having challenges.
Exactly.
That it was a bit more Dean Martin this week. Usually I say it's a bit like Frankie Sinatra, but this week
Frankie Sinatra.
Yeah, we're buddies.
Frankie, Matty, Dee Dee. All right.
You know,
Giggsy.
The crew. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so Katie?
I liked it. I thought it was very magical.
Magical. Mm. Magical from Katie Grimmison. Not that we want to actually tell tales, but Nikki Wells went to the loo during the course of that, so I don't know what she's going to come back with, basically. She's got all loudspeakers around
there. I heard it.
Yes. Thoughts on How Little We Know?
I loved it. It's very mellow, very soothing. I'm overcome by the need to dance.
Really?
When I hear Matt.
We'll have to ask Michelle Munro to say to your children, go to sleep, children. 7 o'clock, of course. Is it 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at the bedtime?
Yes.
What?
Probably closer to eight these days.
Closer to eight, because they are
struggling.
How old are they these days?
One's just had a birthday, so he's six and seven.
Who's that?
Ollie. Shout out for Ollie. He's six.
Would you like to say happy birthday to Ollie?
Oh, happy birthday, Ollie.
He'll love that.
Well, I'm afraid I succumbed to the advent of electronics and the like, and I put a little television in my son's room with a video, and I used to put Rosie and Jim on for him at 7 o'clock, which meant he was in bed and he was allowed an hour of his choice of video, and that way he was all settled and sleep.
There we are, you see. And
he's never had a problem.
He's developed to such an extent that he's actually given his mother a crash course in the release dates of video games. She knows exactly when Lara Croft is out, when World of Warcraft is happening, when Assassin's Creed 3 is happening. Sorted.
Fabulous.
I mean, I've been ordered to buy it.
Don't worry, Grace. He's grown up since then. He's at university now.
No, I was just laughing at you going, oh, Assassin's Creed 3 and stuff. And it's like, long gone, Alex.
Well, 4 then, which is coming out in November the 1st, so I'm told.
Now, talking of things coming out.
Nice. You see what we did there?
See
yeah.
There?
Very
see
good.
That link?
Yes. Yeah,
see
very good.
That Monroe CD.
Ooh.
Yes, very excited about this one. I mean, it's exciting as the rare Monroe and the rarer Monroe were, because of the uniqueness of the material. We are actually doing the alternate Monroe now, which are alternative takes of songs you may already know, and that we're hoping to come out sometime in September. So that will be excellent.
It's the alternative Matt Monroe. A different dimension there. Stephanie, what did we make of today's tune?
It was very relaxing, very nice. I enjoyed it, but I think we've got another little announcement to make over here in the studio.
What's this then?
That's my cue. Ed's just been reminding me that I shouldn't leave out my other son. He'll be devastated if we miss the shout out.
But you see, this is what we call a psychological experiment. We actually send one son unwittingly to the worlds we don't mention him at all, and the other one we appreciate.
His name is Daniel.
Daniel, happy birthday when it comes around, sweetheart.
April, yeah, not long ago. Thank you, Michelle.
Another show that Stephanie took part in on Saturday, we're talking about parents having one favourite child. Oh, I won't ask you to name obvious reasons. But
there's no such thing.
I have a favourite.
Yeah, there we are.
Because I only have one.
Nice, yeah.
I made it easy for myself.
Exactly. Nicola.
I think it's very different. I know my grandmother, I was her favourite for sure, because I was a girl and she didn't much like boys. But, that didn't mean to say that she didn't love Gary, as much in one way, but she favoured the little girl, let's put it that way.
There we are, you see. And that's how so many psychoanalysts make so much money. Nicola, what did you make of How Little We Know?
Yes, I thought it was very lovely, thank you.
I think I've already asked you anyway. And Ed, after that 4-4 time, 3-4 time.
I thought, like Katie said, magical. I could see dancing on ice to that, Not myself, obviously.
Dancing seems to be a general reaction to the song. Everybody envisages dancing and movement and swaying.
Yes, it's a sort of musical number. It could be in one of the old big musicals, couldn't it?
Well, life is just a song in its own way. Grace, last two questions for Michelle Monroe, please.
Michelle, have you had a reasonably interesting chat with us today?
Yes, I have.
And will we be hearing from you again next week?
You will, actually. I shall be back live again next week.
Lovely.
And just in case people were thinking, it's high time we actually plugged Rockstar Romance Trilogy once again. Well, just for you, tying in with the book.
Yes.
And because we couldn't fit it into the actual event itself when we had the launch routine. He's getting very excited now as we have a little bit of Van Halen. Little smidgen there. And what's this called, Grace?
Jump.
Jumping, and on a show which has obviously sort of seen a whole range of little challenges, including the fact that my ink pen has just decided to sort of leak, which is great, we have managed to at least say, thankfully, not necessarily via ISTN, it's some bizarre reason, because we have actually contacted Bath via ISTN when we're in Studio 1B, but Studio 1A, it's one of those mysterious scenarios where, right from the Twilight Zone, we just don't know what can happen, and sitting waiting for that ISTN lights to flash, like a good, wonderful top deputy editor who indeed has actually flagged up a whole heap of other good things. In fact, on the very morning show today on Siren, we were already talking about the top 10 of this particular soul who actually went in no particular order. Well, let's go 10 upwards. Wall-E, Blade Runner, Ghostbusters, The Thing, Tremors, Aliens, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Back to the Future, and The Empire Strikes Back. To whom could we be referring to, Ed Wellman?
This would be Richard Edwards.
Richard Edwards, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent, thank you. How are you?
I'm a little bit frustrated, as I say. I've got sort of ink leaking all over. One pen decides to pack up completely. You dial up various other numbers, and then, you know, as if things weren't enough sort of in terms of stress scenarios, the telephone gets caught up in the headphone lead. And that's not a good look at all, you know, unless you want to sort of do a whole routine. Anyway, have you caught any of the show so far, Richard, or is that a pointless question?
I haven't been able to, no. We're in the middle of an office move, so it's all getting stuff into boxes, unfortunately.
No. Well, let's progress neatly onto this whole routine, because not only do we want to flag up the A to Z of sci-fi movies, which, of course, is that, which I shall pass around, so I can actually have a little look through that, primarily because this also features a key zone, which comes from Ali Ovarsson in terms of his musical selectors. And let's see, Richard, we're jumping you straight into the motion here, if you can identify which theme this comes from, because I thought it was a cracking movie which worked extremely well. Any thoughts so far in terms of what this is? It's gone very quiet. Let's try the studio. Grace, any ideas?
No clue. No clue, sorry.
It's got a sort of feelings rather like the Sherlock Benedict Cumberbatch routine, but it's nothing to do with that. Katie?
Blade Runner?
No, it certainly isn't Blade Runner. Absolutely. Stephanie?
No, I'll have to wait to be enlightened, I think, on this one.
Yeah. Anything from yourself, Ed?
I can enlighten you to the fact that it's in F minor, but little else.
It's in F minor, Richard. Does that help?
Not really. Danny Elfman, but no, I don't know.
Atli Orverson, let's try and see if Nikki minds about.
To my great embarrassment, I'm going to have to pass.
And yet it's based on a German fairy tale.
Hansel and Gretel immediately springs to mind.
So why wouldn't you say Hansel and Gretel? Witch Hunters!
Yay! Well, there you go. Music achieves goal. Mission accomplished.
It does. And I didn't think I'd enjoy it, but I saw it in 3D and thoroughly enjoyed it. Have you caught it yourself as yet, Richard?
I haven't yet, no. I haven't heard particularly good things about it, actually.
I know, but forget that. Forget all that. People say the same about Cloud Atlas, and I'm going to see that in the next couple of days. You know, let's just relax. I actually, in a strange, bizarre way, found that the combination of Gemma Arterton and, indeed, Jeremy Renner with their literally kick-ass approach to witches was quite effective, really, and it was 90 minutes. Well, fun, in many ways. You know, almost in the same vein as Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Slayer, which... sort of, and the music there, Atli Orvarsson, is taking us through that whole thing. So, let's just progress with that. Why might I have actually mentioned Hansel and Gretel when we were also talking about the SFX film magazine? Think free gift, Richard. Think free gift. I know you didn't edit this, but you contributed it to the whole thing. There's a free gift
involved. I did, yes. Yes, so we have a disc devoted to Hansel and Gretel.
A whole disc devoted to Hansel and Gretel. And that's all part, and Roger Moore on the front cover in his wonderful guise.
How could you not?
That's what you call slick marketing cross promotion. That splendid. It's worked its way through there. Okay, questions for Richard, please. Stephanie.
Got to be honest, more of a rom-com girl myself, so what would you say should persuade me to watch a sci-fi movie?
It's a hoary old chestnut, isn't it, Richard? What can persuade the journalism and English students of the world today to go and say, no, I'm going to step aside from the romantic comedies and I'm going to go marching straight forward into Oz the Great and Powerful?
Well, you actually have elements of rom-com in Oz the Great and Powerful. There is romance in there. There will be a bit of comedy. Great thing about science fiction fantasy is all things are covered. It covers such a broad range of stuff. You've got space, you've got stuff like Lord of the Rings, and within that you can do people who are going to war, you can have people doing romance, you can have laughter. It's just an excuse to do something that's not in the real world, and in doing that you can actually sort often, and this is a bit of a cliche, say more about the real world than you could if you were doing something, say, set down the street in EastEnders or whatever.
That's a start. And then, of course, there's always...
Hi, this is Eleanor Tomlinson from Jack the Giant Killer. I am your new princess of 2013. Bring it on! You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Thank you, Eleanor. I feel Nikki was there when we actually recorded that, rather Nicola was, from the point of view of Eleanor Tomlinson. Good friends with Eleanor, aren't we?
Oh, yes, yeah, she's very lovely.
Very lovely. And, of course, featured in Jack the Giant Slayer. Used to be Jack the Giant Killer last year, but obviously they had a little preview, checked out a few other bits and pieces and decided, no, we'll go for Jack the Giant Slayer. According to Eleanor herself, in the current edition of SFX magazine, she's a wild child, ... Yes, you're supposed to say, Richard, absolutely, that's why you should go. He's on foot. He must have had a hell of an office move today, Richard.
I can't really add to that. I mean, she said it all. I'm a bit of a wild child. I can't put words in her mouth.
No. Well, I don't know, because, you know, before I actually hand over the line from this point of view, the classic sort of scenario of Richard Edwards' Rants and Raves springs to mind. And, you know, in terms of this, let's find for this. Raves this week, this month, I should say, Farewell Fringe. I'm going to miss you, but better to go out when you're at the top than to fade into insignificance. Let's just test the audience here. Nikki, first of all, Fringe. Have you ever seen any of the exciting world of the alternate dimensions of this J.J. Abrams-oriented series?
I have not. Right. Although I'm not adverse to a bit of sci-fi. I just...
Well, I should hope not.
It's not my normal
fare. Well, but, you know... I just have to say, the SF Weekender that took place in Wales used to be the SFX Weekender, until we rightly found that no, Chic Productions had actually taken it over. And there was a time, Richard, when I thought Chic were just actually responsible for 1980s disco tunes and not actually organising conventions at all. But still, who would have thought that when we were doing a little snapshot on Saturday about the SF a Weekender, that we would have actually moved from apocalyptic versions of Manchester? This all followed your good self, Stephanie, so I lay the blame firmly at your door, and your doggy that you kind of kept, you know, to one side, barking like some sort of crazed Minty Steve fan.
I tried, but they were just looking after me. Yeah. Stranger at the door, I've told you.
Stranger at the door. Anyway, we move from apocalyptic... I could say it once, but twice. It's always difficult. Apocalyptic versions of Manchester through, of course, to the exciting world of Caldor City and various other things, and a whole heap of other things. Fraser Campbell... No, it's not Fraser Campbell, he's a footballer. Fraser Hines was being pursued by one of our reporters into the loo until I actually said, Alan Stevens, look, there's a limit to when you can actually ask people to go online for either Siren FM's Midweek Drive or Southside Broadcasting. But extraordinarily, they also had folk who actually document the entire history of the Eurovision Song Contest. My point, if you're wondering where the heck it was, Nikki, was if the SF Weekender, Science Fiction Weekender, can actually deem it appropriate to acknowledge that the Eurovision Song Contest is indeed science fiction / fantasy. Surely Rockstar Romance Trilogy has to go into that whole field. I mean, Richard, I can tell he's almost dropped the phone in shock now at the notion that, does this mean SFX will have to quickly do a full feature on Eurovision Song Contest winners of times past?
I am worried, yeah. I suppose Lordi were quite science fiction.
Yeah. There's a band that most people actually wouldn't have remembered, Lordi. Still, anyway, anybody else seen Fringe? No. So why is it important, Richard, that they should check out Fringe and get all five seasons of a superlative series starring Anna Torv, amongst others?
I'd say it's the best sort of science fiction. Yeah, I'm not talking fantasy, but the best sort of science fiction show to come out of America in the last, 5-6 years. It starts off as a sort of an X-Files-y clone, but very quickly it evolves into something else, and there's people popping between universes and weird cases, some really sort of inventive ideas. But the reason that it really sort of kept people with it for those five seasons was the centre. You had some really great characters. I mean, as well as Anna Torv, who plays the sort of main FBI agent who holds everything together, there's this sort of scientist played by John Noble, who's a genius, but he kind of lost his mind because of a few things that he did. And he's trying to piece together some of his memories while examining these cases. And it's the relationship between them and his son that really holds it together. And towards the end, although you know the science fiction side of it was amazing, you cared about how they were going to end up. It was brilliant.
It sounds like X-Files meets Quantum Leap.
A little bit. There are elements. I mean, the X-Files thing was quite strong because you've got FBI agents investigating the weird, but the X-Files never bothered going to other universes. And in Fringe, the arc plot is brilliant, you know, the whole serialised element, whereas in the X-Files, whenever they sort of got a little bogged down in the whole UFO thing, it was a little less good than when they did a case of the week.
Mm. And, of course, you've also got Henry Ian Cusack in there, who was also in Lost. Which I,
yes, he didn't last very long in Fringe.
No, well, that's true, but he was there. You know, it's enough to go to Collectomania. That's all you need.
Did he get sent to another universe and banished?
Well, the thing is, once you're a sci-fi star, you're always a sci-fi star. Yeah. So.
I mean, as you know, Richard, these very shows are hardcore science fiction. People don't realise it, but when we actually go out dealing with these genetically modified cattle at various agricultural shows, it's mainstream science fiction. So we're living in that whole
thing. Plus, we're all clones, of course, as we've discovered with
you
Alana.
You can't
before.
Get away from that Ilana Raine comment, can
I
you?
I cannot.
She
I
might well have directed We Are All Silence. She'll be back on the show shortly, but I thought, you know, just to be clones, etc. Would you like to hear Richard Edwards' rant for the month of April 2013?
Oh, yes,
publication?
Please.
Disappointed by The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Too long, way too much filler. When did Peter Jackson decide that movies have to run at close to 3 hours? Take it you weren't actually moved by our Hobbit friends then, Richard.
Not really, no. I do like The Lord of the Rings. I must admit, I don't absolutely love them. They're not like Star Wars for me, but, you know, I think they're great movies, but... Just sitting watching The Hobbit, there's so many moments when the plot just sort of slows down to a trickle, and I kept thinking that there was a really good 2-hour movie in there, but they kept sort of, having the dwarves
If only they'd done Hansel and Gretel the Vampire, you know, at least that's over in 90 minutes, you know, bang, sorted through, you know, witches, you know, not giving too many plots away, but lots of witches executed. We kind of know the scenario there, and I mean, obviously, if you're sensitive about hearing Gemma Arterton and What's Not to Love After Tamara Drew, sent Trinians, and indeed a whole heap of others, including Prince of Persia, uttering the F word, well, then don't go. But I thought in a bizarre way, it was okay. It worked well. As I like to say, you know, she could almost have been channeling the kind of action adventure that Nicola Clancy puts into every location report, you know, kick ass routine, sorted.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for short movies, that's the thing. You know, I think people have forgotten that movies work really well at sort of 90, 100 minutes, and now they all have to be 2.5 hours.
Yeah. So we won't be talking about Cloud Atlas then, which is... it'll happen. It'll work through. Now, Grace, you've been perusing the current edition of SFX magazine. Anything that sort of springs to mind there? You think, ooh, that's nice. I'd like to follow that one through.
Well, I was looking in the A to Z little one.
A to Z for our American listeners. Sure. I don't know if there are any there. I mean, Phil hasn't even tweeted today. I don't think he's even sort of... Yeah, he's doing anything. He might be asleep.
And the Quentin Tarantino... article caught my eye, the one about he recommends a lot of movies, but are they actually any good? And that's the sort of thing that interests me, because I really like Quentin.
He lives in his own universe, the alternate dimension universe in which Americans killed Hitler, in which various killer gangsters will actually quote the Bible, and, you know, there are various reservoir dogs looking around slicing ears off.
He is amazing.
Shouts a lot, though, doesn't he?
He has actually said, hasn't he, that like Django Unchained exists in the same universe as Inglourious Basterds. Say that?
We like to say Inglourious. You've already said it. Inglourious will do. Honestly, it's bad enough when we have our film critic Richard Fitzwilliams talking about the whole thing. Still, you know. Anyway, sorted through that. But you're quite right, as indeed Pulp Fiction, as indeed Reservoir Dogs and so on.
I would love the guy to make a genuine science fiction movie. He's so movie literate. You know, I think he'd do a brilliant job.
So, Stephanie, what are your views on this whole thing? Have we persuaded you to actually say, yes, I'm going to check out some of this, and I'm off now to see Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters in 3D?
The closest you've got me interested here is you mentioned somebody that was in Lost, played in one of the films.
Yes.
Who did we say? Who did he play in Lost?
He played that wonderful man here. Was he a priest? Was he actually married to...
Echo.
No.
No?
No.
Not Mr.
Echo. It wasn't Mr. Echo. No, it was the chap who was in the hatch pressing the button until he didn't press it and then ran around naked for a time.
Scottish.
Yeah, Scottish.
I got that for Christmas, the whole box set, and it was watched within 3 weeks. It literally took over my life.
Were you disappointed by the ending?
Yeah. No, I was. I was disappointed. For the first two seasons, I thought it was going to be a government experiment, and I thought it was perfectly logical to get all these so-called bad people, put them all on a plane, set them off on an island. But it wasn't.
I was quite moved, actually, in a sense. I thought the relationship between Jack's father and that, without giving too much away, end up in church. It was quite nice, you know. They could have actually voted for the new pope. I probably would have accepted them as a basis of this. You know.
I got lost after the first series.
Oh, bless.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Katie Grimerson, our Birmingham correspondent, she got lost after the first series. Genius stuff. Nicola, are you a lostette?
No, but I was having a look through the magazine and I noticed the list of like different kind of sci-fi films, what you would class it as. And there was like, Kill Bill and like Up.
Yes.
So I was quite surprised with Up. I was like, balloons. Obviously it's not realistic.
I don't know. I thought it was a drama documentary when I first saw it. A classic case of, you know, urban routine. If you attach sufficient balloons to your house, you'll lift it off and go off to Central America.
I'd like to ask, actually, what film would you recommend? Because I'm not really into sci-fi either. But what would you recommend,
It's a long
Richard?
Routine, isn't it, Nicola?
Well, if you're looking for something on DVD or Blu-ray, I'd go for Looper.
Yes. I did start watching that and then I fell asleep. Oh. Sorry, I'll have to try that again, but...
I might be more into sci-fi than I realise. Like, I've seen that.
The Loop is fantastic. I mean, it's just a really good noir-y sort of character thing. It's really tight. It's really well written.
Grace has already said that despite it's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in.
No, I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis, so it was like the perfect combination. It was amazing.
And the man from Aerosmith as well?
Well, he's not in it, but if he was...
You'd be there, wouldn't you? Right. Stephanie, you just realised you might like science fiction after all.
Yeah, Looper really surprised me. I went, I will admit, as a 2-for-1 orange offer on a Wednesday.
I think you'd find now, if we're doing blatant sponsorship.
Yes, we've had this discussion. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed that one.
Well, there we are. You see, as you can tell, Richard, it's a slow process. Ed, what about your own perspective? Bearing in mind that tomorrow morning we got hardcore science fiction with Jeff Brown from the Lincoln Choral Society. Not one requiem, two requiems, Richard. You know, like buses. Amazing.
Back to the start of the conversation, Alex, you mentioned Back to the Future. Richard, I mean, I think that's one of the best films ever made.
I will agree with you on that, yeah.
There we are.
That's my sort of very educated comment on the subject.
I think that's taken us neatly through to hopefully getting to Phil Leonis actually in time for once for his half six UK time slot, half ten Los Angeles slot, all being well. A little flag up for the fact that tomorrow morning Ethan Detmeyer will be live from LA at 3:00, 3 minutes past midnight, hopefully. Minty Steed, countryside correspondent, will be with us. Arthur McKenzie, the producer of a very exciting upcoming movie, almost Tarantino-esque perhaps, but a bit more hardcore, with Hannigan, will be joining us. Rebecca Townsend from Jive Pony will be talking about equine gymnastics, which I know Grace, Katie, Nicola, and indeed Stephanie are keen to actually do some more equine gymnastics. Rosemary Langhorn, well, we've seen her dancers with Legs & Co. Well, hopefully we have. We managed to access those Legs & Co dancers. YouTube, good, yeah, excellent. Great routines there. And William Sitwell from Food & Drink, together with Gemma Joy, will be with us. And as we mentioned, Jeff Brown from the Lincoln Choral Society and one other special person who I'll mention in a few moments. Would you like to ask those last two questions to Richard Edwards, who's been patiently... I mean, they would have packed up probably about 5:00. I mean, knowing they would have gone, the whole SFX team would have gone, say, are you joining us for the after show, after the drink? He said, no, Richard's waiting, 6:00 for this call. He says, I've got to do my media response. Last two questions, please. Nicola.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Richard?
Been fantastic, thank you, yes.
Excellent, and can we look forward to speaking with you in the near future?
You certainly can.
Yes.
If you'll have me, yeah.
Richard Edwards, well, Richard, at the end of the day, you actually helped us through the marathon, you know? I mean, it was at that moment, you know, right, the first few hours ticking by. Nicky had actually left after the Gelsenkirchen, Obergkirchen choir and all sorts of things.
I went to my alternate universe.
Alternate universe, exactly, we heard through that. Tomorrow morning...
Fashionable now.
It is. It's very fashionable. It's just, as indeed cosmologists and high-energy physicists would actually say, every decision you make in this universe has got an equal and opposite decision that's made in another universe, and they just proliferate like magical things. As well as Stephanie, Grace, Jeff Brown and Ed Wellman in the studio tomorrow, Katie's off to Birmingham. That's the reason she's not going making for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Hannah O'Brien might be back with us.